I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the Middle East, 24 hours ahead of Israel's planned deadline for prisoner release by Hamas, otherwise threatening what appears to be a total extermination of the people of Gaza as the holy month of Ramadan begins. All this as U.S. President Joe Biden continues to supply weapons to Israel ahead of a U.S. presidential election that may very well see former President Donald Trump currently facing four criminal trials back in the White House. One of the world's most famous lawyers, who has defended Julian Assange, Dan Ellsberg, Donald Trump, Mike Tyson, and more controversially, Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, and O.J. Simpson, is friend of Israeli PM Netanyahu, Professor Alan Dershowitz. He's Emeritus Professor at Harvard Law School and is the author of two new books, Get Trump, The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, and Our Constitutional Rule of Law, and War Against the Jews, How to End Hamas Barbarism. He's in Miami, Florida. Thank you so much, Professor Dershowitz, for coming back on. Before we get to Gaza, I mean, how do you feel about the state of democracy in the USA, albeit the Supreme Court verdict was one you probably would agree with, given these attempts to prevent the US's leading opposition leader Trump from being elected president, let alone running in November? I know you support Biden, in case anyone thinks you're a great supporter of Donald Trump.
Well, in my podcast, I award bananas on a scale of 1 to 10 toward a banana republic. And I had gotten up to 6 bananas based on the 4 charges that were made against Donald Trump. But when the Supreme Court reversed the Colorado case, I eliminated one of the bananas. So we're down to 5 now. And I hope we don't get up to 6 or 7. Democracy is at risk, both from the election of Donald Trump and also from attempts by Trump's enemies to assure that voters can't vote for him or that he is not on ballots or is prosecuted before the election. So I see threats from democracy on all sides.
And just for our international audience, explain how a victorious Donald Trump, the outcome you wouldn't want, if he won, like socialist Eugene Debs, he could still become president and pardon himself while he was in jail, but then there would be a problem if it was a federal conviction as opposed to a state conviction. What exactly happens?
Well, he can't pardon himself from a state conviction. And so if there is a state conviction in either New York or Fulton County, Florida, he couldn't pardon himself. And the law is not clear as to whether he could pardon himself from a federal prosecution. Nobody knows the answer to that question. And it's unlikely that he would try to do it. But he probably would not be sentenced to serve a prison term while he was president. If he was convicted of a serious offense and then elected president, he'd probably be able to serve his term as president and then face possible imprisonment thereafter.
Yeah, more unprecedented stuff. Meanwhile, Biden, the authorities, Justice Department, are trying to get Julian Assange to the United States, despite the opposition of all journalists all around the world, the Australian government, the German government, I understand it. You defended Dan Ellsberg, the late Dan Ellsberg, who's been on this program. Are things worse than the 1970s, given what's happening to Julian Assange's health as he was tortured in Britain, according to the UN Special Rapporteur?
It is much worse. I was one of the lawyers on the Pentagon Papers case, and there at least people were treated with a degree of decency. Assange has really been made a horrible martyr to free speech, and I'm honored to have been part of his legal defense team, and if he is extradited to the United States, I hope I can help him avoid prosecution. I think he has a strong case. Remember, he's not the one who stole any secrets like Daniel Ellsberg did. He's more like the New York Times. He published them, and the New York Times wasn't even prosecuted. Ellsberg was, but eventually the case was won. But I don't think Assange should be prosecuted for publishing material that other people provided to him.
And will he get an attorney at any grand jury in Virginia?
Well, you don't get an attorney in front of the grand jury, but the attorney can sit outside the grand jury room and he can come out and ask questions. But the real question is, will he be confined pending a resolution by the grand jury? And he's been confined far too long already. I met him in England before he was confined, and he seemed to be in far better health and spirits than he was after he went into the Ecuadorian embassy and then confined, and he's likely to be confined in the United States, and that would be too bad. I mean, he comes as close to being a political prisoner as we have had in a long time in the United States. And so, again, I've represented many political prisoners in my life, ranging from Nelson Mandela to Natan Sharansky, and I'm honored to continue to defend political prisoners of every stripe and background against oppressive government persecution.
Well, actually, Mandela may be relevant here. So the USAA standing accused of persecuting truth tellers or publishers, preventing democracy as they try and attack their opposition leader, being led, according to a special counsel, by a mentally ill president. And now people across the world, not in the NATO nation countries, arguably, are saying that the United States is a co-conspirator in genocide. You've written a new book where you talk about the October 7th attacks as being wholly unjustified. There's the book. Didn't Mandela justify his bombing of restaurants in the apartheid struggle as perfectly part of the armed struggle that is required to overthrow regimes on the basis of their apartheid systems?
And he was wrong to do so, and he apologized for doing so and stopped using that kind of terrorism against civilians. I think deliberately, willfully targeting civilians, particularly for rape, which is what happened when Hamas crossed over the border. The UN has now confirmed that there were rapes and sexual atrocities, and yet there are some who still deny that. There were beheadings. I had dinner with a man whose son was beheaded, and they Hamas operatives tried to sell his son's head in Gaza for $10,000 before it was retrieved. So there's no comparison between happened.
Yeah, the UN report, Pramila Patton, this week, collected no evidence to support any of the claims. Unfounded and inaccurate forensic evidence was collected by untrained volunteer first responders. This is the UN report this week. Lots of potentially valuable evidence wasn't there. UN expert statement said, the UN expert statement said, we're particularly distressed by reports of Palestinian women and girls in detention have been subjected to multiple forms of sexual assault. And as for the beheaded babies story, we now know that the Israeli government had to admit it had no evidence to support the claims by Nicole Zedek of I-24 News and repeated by Biden, but then walked back by the White House.
Well, I've seen the photographs that prove conclusively that women were raped, that they were shot in their vaginas, that their breasts were cut off. I've spoken to the man.
You have photographs.
There are photographs, yeah. There are photographs, and I've seen them, and
Well, why did you not give them to the UN envoy?
And Israel.
Well, the UN officially says there is none. There is no...
There's none. Anybody who died that occurred in Israel is equivalent to a Holocaust denier. You cannot deny the reality. There were rapes. Hamas bragged about it. Hamas was proud of it. And if you start denying the reality of rape and the reality of this young man, I'm not talking about babies, this young man, 19 years old, who was beheaded and whose head was offered for sale, there's contradicted evidence. And let's remember another thing. The head of Hamas, Sinwar, was found to have said he does not want a ceasefire. He thinks that if Israel kills more civilians, that the Hamas cause will be strengthened. And he wants
I think the ceasefire is part of the negotiations over the hostages on both sides. But just back to this rape stuff, because the beheaded baby stuff isn't even talked about by the State Department. But it says clearly in the United Nations report, it was determined by the UN mission team the crime scene had been altered by a bomb squad and the bodies moved, explaining the separation of the body of the girl from the rest of their family. Are you seeing, altered photographs?
Yes. They're just not telling the truth. The UN and
the UN
can't be trusted.
Apologies to viewers for the audio cutting out a little, Professor Dershowitz, but we will continue.
When it comes to Israel, because they're very anti-Israel, same organization that called Zionism racism, but even the UN said there was clear and convincing evidence of rape, very strong evidence of rape, very And that was after discounting all this. The evidence is clear. Why deny it? Why become a Holocaust denier? Why deny that Sinwar wants, he uses human shields, and he wants Israel to kill as many Palestinian babies as possible, because that helps Hamas in the court of public opinion. Palestinian Hamas leaders have bragged about the use of children and women as human shields. They're
okay, I just have to say, and obviously Hamas deny any of these beheaded babies, these rape claims. And I have to say, the United Nations, I'm reading the UN thing here, the latest report, which says they didn't find actual evidence for that. But on your human shields point, I mean, I know in your new book you call Amnesty International some kind of apologist for Hamas or something, but you know that there's no evidence at all for human shields. Rantisi and Yassin have repeatedly said that there was no human shields are not part of the situation, and quite the opposite. It's the Israelis' use of human shields, Palestinian human shields.
We do from one of the leaders of Hamas, Fatih Hamad. For the Palestinian people, death has become an industry which women excel as do people living on this land.
I'm talking about the heads of Hamas. I'm not talking about operatives.
Interrupt me. This is why they have formed human shields of the women, the children, the elderly, and the Mujahideen in order to challenge the Zionist bombing machine. It is as if they were saying to the Zionist enemy, we desire death like you desire life. There is a videotape of these words coming out of his mouth. You can be a rape denier, you can be a Holocaust denier, but you cannot be a human shield denier, because there are multiple leaders of Hamas who have bragged about the use of babies and children and women as human shields.
Do you take their word over Amnesty International, which has said conclusively there's no evidence for the use of human shields?
Amnesty International filed a report, the Harvard Amnesty International group, on October 7th, saying that the killings were all the fault of Israel and that Hamas did not do anything improper. No, I don't trust Amnesty International at all. I trust photographs. Who are you going to believe? The photographs of your lying eyes. Who are you going to believe? The videotape of the leader of Hamas. Now, this videotape was not used by Amnesty International when it issued its fake denial that human shields were being used.
Okay, well, no.
Human shields are being used.
Okay, well, no photographs have been publicly available, but Professor Alan Dershowitz, I'll stop you there. I'll stop you there. More from the Emeritus Professor at Harvard Law School and former lawyer for Donald Trump and Julian Assange after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the former Trump lawyer, emeritus professor at Harvard Law School and author of the new book, War Against the Jews, How to End Hamas's Barbarism, Professor Alan Dershowitz. We were talking about, you said you have photographic evidence of the atrocities on October the 7th. But now that we have upwards of tens of thousands of children, Palestinians, killed, you haven't changed your mind at all about what is going on, even though the countries which are supplying the weapons to Israel, clearly the populations there, the populations in the United States, clearly are turning against Israel.
Well, I've strengthened my view because of the numbers. Let's take the numbers. Let's assume the Palestinian Authority, that is Hamas, is right, that there are 30,000 totally killed. They don't distinguish between civilians and combatants. 13,000, according to Israel, are direct combatants. That leaves 17,000. We then have to deduct from that the number of people who have been killed by errant rockets, for example, the one that was sent to the hospital. We now know hundreds were killed by an Islamic Jihad rocket. We have to take away from that civilians who were voluntarily human shields, who allow their homes to be used to build tunnels or allow their homes to be used to hide Hamas people. If we get that down, probably there are equivalent number of civilians killed and terrorists killed. In other words, the ratio is probably about 12 to 13,000 of each. That is the lowest ratio of civilians to combatants in the history of urban warfare. There has never been an army that has killed fewer civilians and fewer children. Remember, children is defined by Hamas as anyone under 19 They recruit their terrorists 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So many of the so-called children are terrorists. The same thing is true of the women. Just because you are a woman doesn't mean you're not a terrorist. And so many of the women who were killed were actual terrorists or complicit in terrorism. And when Israel has the best ratio of civilian to lowest ratio of civilian to combatant deaths, and that's called genocide, it shows you have no idea what the meaning of genocide is. Genocide is deliberately, willfully targeting an entire population.
We'll get on to genocide in a second, but Haaretz, the Israeli paper Haaretz, sociology professor at the Open University of Israel, has said that the ratio is significantly higher than the average civilian death toll in all conflicts around the world from the Second World War to the 1990s as regards civilians to combatant ratio. And when you talk about children, I've got a list here. I have an actual list here of one after another of people, children, infants, 0 years old, 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. I mean, it's right here. I got the names of all these people. They're not 18, 19.
They have a list of 1,000 or 2,000 children, but from a total of 30,000 people killed, that still makes it the lowest ratio of civilians to combatants in any war in history, and I challenge any...
Well, this is it. Three earlier campaigns in Gaza, 2012 to 2022, ratio of civilian death tolls was 44%. Ratio declined to 33% Operation Shield and Arrow. In the first 3 weeks of this current operation, 61%. But let's just take, aside from all these contested by both sides statistics, the actual words of, say, President Yitzhak Herzog, who I think you know, the president of Israel.
I know.
Quote, it is an entire nation who are responsible. This rhetoric about civilians, presumably the rhetoric both of us are arguing about, supposedly not being involved, is absolutely untrue, and we will fight until we break their backs. And of course, the Israeli defense minister.
He is right. Gaza has declared war on Israel. Gaza is a unit. Gaza is ruled
half of whom are children.
The vast majority of Gazans support what Hamas did. The vast majority of the West Bank did. And what President Herzog merely said is there is responsibility in the way the German people were responsible for the Nazis. The Japanese people were responsible for what happened there. And yes, when you elect people, as the Gazans elected Hamas, and Hamas acts on your behalf and commits atrocities, there is collective responsibility. That doesn't mean there should be collective punishment. That doesn't mean that innocent people should be killed. And Israel goes to great lengths to avoid the killing of civilians more than any other country. They give warnings. They tell in advance where their attack is going to be. And yet civilians are killed because they're used as human shields. When you use civilians as human shields, civilians die.
As I said, no evidence of human shields has been officially seen, but I mean, that argument can go on and on. Yeah, but in your book, and you were just there mentioning Second World War violence, I mean, the firebombing of Tokyo or the British bombing of Dresden are not used. I've never heard of them being used as excuses for the war.
Nobody's using.
I mean, if anything, these are atrocities that, the film Oppenheimer that may win Oscars. It's not so much that Hiroshima and Nagasaki were necessary. Some people debate whether they should have happened at all, the bombing of Dresden and so on. Whereas you, again and again, say they were clearly necessary in the fight against Nazism.
I was opposed to the bombing of Dresden. I'm in favor of the bombing of Hiroshima and not of Nagasaki. The bombing of Hiroshima saved more than 100,000 American lives of soldiers.
You know, that's disputed. There was already a deal with Russia, as historians have found out later.
The way Japan did in Pearl Harbor, you put your civilians at risk, and militaries make decisions. I would not have supported a decision on Nagasaki, but Israel didn't do that. Israel is engaged in efforts to try to destroy Hamas. They have the right to do that. That's part of American policy. That's part of British policy. That's part of NATO policy. Israel has the right to destroy Hamas. It should do it in a way that...
So Hamas has the right to destroy Israel, then, under 2334, and the right to armed struggle in UN General Assembly Resolution 3743.
Right to rape and behead and assault and kidnap and take hostages.
I just told you about the beheading. There's no evidence. You're a lawyer. You know you have to defend on evidence.
And I And I saw the picture. I know the person. His head, it's online. His head was offered for sale for $10,000.
Why has none of this been validated by the official UN reports into atrocities?
And it has been validated, and it's absolutely true. I sat next to the father, crying his eyes out, showing me the picture of the son.
Well, the White House has walked back Biden's original.
Tried to sell Ed for $10,000. You destroy your own credibility when you dispute that, when you dispute the rapes, when you dispute the use of human shields. You destroy your credibility.
Well, the eyes of the world clearly.
Deny that. Remember, Nazis denied the Holocaust for so many years, and that destroyed their credibility. And anyone who says there was no rapes, anyone who says there's no human shields, does not deserve to be listened to on any other subject. Their credibility is gone.
Okay, well, we haven't seen the evidence. The New York Times is walking back earlier pieces in the New York Times about the use of rape.
Quite the opposite. I read in the New York Times that there have been efforts by some radical anti-Israel people to get them to walk it back, and they have refused to walk it back. They're standing by their view, and the UN is standing by its view, that there is clear and convincing evidence. That is a very high standard.
That's not
evidence of rapes, not only rapes individually, but rapes as a policy of Hamas, which is one of the worst war crimes.
Well, then why is the spokesperson from Kibbutz Kiri rejecting these claims? Why is it one family of the woman who was allegedly raped said, this is not true? Why are the New York Times publishing this? A lot of this exposed by the Gray Zone, of course, Max Blumenthal's
outlet. Bigot. Max Blumenthal is a bigot. He's been anti-Israel from the very beginning. He is not to be trusted. And there are many others who are not to be trusted. Look at the photographs. See the videotapes that Israel has produced and that the Times relied on. Look at what the United Nations relied on. You will see clear and convincing evidence. As far as the
We've read the whole report, and they clearly say they collected no evidence. That is the words of Pramila Patton this week.
Why build tunnels underneath hospitals if they weren't using the hospitals as human shields? You know what I call these hospitals? I call them Hamas.
They're tunnels under the whole of Gaza. But why put Gaza under siege? But anyway, fundamental to all of this is the right of the Palestinian people to armed struggle against
armed struggle. They were offered a state in 48, in 67, in 90.
Well, that may be true, but they still have the right to armed struggle against occupation.
Interrupt me. They were offered a state in 2005. In 2007, Ehud Olmert offered them a state on 98% of the West Bank, 100% of the Gaza.
Why is this relevant?
And they turned it down. So no, they have no right to armed struggle. They have a right to diplomacy. They have the right to accept a two-state solution and to argue for it. But they have no right to rape and to behead and to assault and to kidnap and to take a one-year-old baby and hold him hostage. We don't even know if that baby is still alive. No, they have no right to do that.
How many children, Palestinian children, are in Israelis' jails?
None.
None. There are no children in Israeli jails.
Yeah, there are.
So you agree with your friend President Herzog. What about Yoav Gallant? Yeah. There will be no electricity, there will be no food, no fuel, everything is closed. We are fighting animal people and we are acting accordingly. Do you see why the world... I mean, actually, let's get on to this. People have said Joe Biden may be the last pro-Israel president. What do you feel as a defender of Israel, as a friend of Netanyahu, knowing that you've lost the narrative now in the United States, the rest of the world clearly is not supporting the AIPAC line, the Israeli line? Is this the end of the Israeli project? Are we approaching the end of the Israeli project?
Close. Israel's support among American voters is higher and very high, particularly among people of voting age. They have lost some support among young people. Israel is militarily strong. Israel will never give up, and there will always be an Israel. And until the Palestinians recognize that and understand that until, I sat across from Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, and I said to him over a dinner, if you will say the following words, I hereby recognize Israel as the legitimate nation state of the Jewish people. I will get you a two-state solution. And he said, I can't do that. I cannot recognize Israel as the nation state of the Jewish people. That's the core problem. That's the core of the problem. I support a two-state solution. I have since 1970.
I don't think many experts do support a two-state. They want one state from the river to the sea with both Jews, both Christians and Muslims all living in harmony. Yeah. And you know Hamas accepts an Israeli state in their change of their charter with 1967 borders.
Israeli state. Look, in my book, I quote the charter word for word, and I quote the revised charter. I challenge anybody to read it and tell me that Hamas favors an Israeli state. Let me tell you, if a Hamas leader would get up and say, I favor the establishment of a nation state of the Jewish people in Israel, he would be assassinated immediately. No Hamas.
Just finally and briefly then, so 52, the majority in America, according to pollings, is against sending weapons now to Israel. You think they've been influenced by George Soros and Amnesty International, and do you think that's what's happened, and Harvard University? Why is it a majority now do not favor sending of weapons?
I think a majority probably opposes sending weapons to any country in the world. There are many isolationists, but a majority support Israel. A majority support the destruction of Hamas. A majority support President Biden's policy of allowing Israel to destroy Hamas, getting the hostages back.
Well, that's and the then poll says until they stop the attacks, no weapons should be sent.
No, that's
the YouGov poll.
And number two, the American policy is supported by most Americans, and that is destruction of Hamas, getting the hostages back, and trying to move toward the possibility of a two-state solution. But there can't be a two-state solution if Hamas remains in power. Let me tell you who the most greatest beneficiaries of Israel destroying Hamas would be: the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people without Hamas could thrive. There could be a democracy. When Israel ended its occupation of Gaza in 2005, 2006, they could have built Singapore.
Yeah, well, it was a kind of continued occupation, as we know.
There was no occupation until Hamas took over on a coup, killed the Palestinian Authority.
They were also elected.
And started sending rockets. Then Israel said it has to guard the borders and it has to have control.
Well, it still controlled everything. But look, Professor Alan Dershowitz, thank you.
Well, thank you. Let's stick to the facts, okay?
That's right. That's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those bereaved by UK-US-EU armed bombing in Palestine, Lebanon, Yemen, Syria, and Iraq. We'll be back with more on the NATO nation war in the Middle East on Monday. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.